Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hello, and welcome back to the fourth episode of this special Office Chair to 5K series. This week, we are catching up with Cara. She's back in the saddle and she's officially completed her first three runs. It's all very exciting. We've got questions for her, but she has got plenty for us. And dare I say, she is becoming a proper runner. We've got lots and lots of classic running questions in this week's episode. She's even had her first bout of runner's itch. We've got plenty of questions about kit to talk about with her. It's been bitterly cold here in the UK again this week, so she's got some very sensible questions about what we should be wearing to try and combat this while also not overheating. We also talk a little bit about shin splints, which is a very common injury for beginner runners, and it can be really, really nasty. So we are just giving a little bit more information on what that is and what to do if you think you've got it. But first of all, how important it is to actually get it diagnosed. Listen in for all of that. I'm just going to let you get into it here because we've got lots and lots to chat with Cara about. But just a little reminder before things kick off, please look in the show notes. There's so many other lovely places that you can find us if you just simply can't get enough. And if you need more support with your 5K training, there is no better time than to sign up to Women's Running right now because you will get a free 5K guide. I mean, what more could you possibly want? So check out the link to do that in the show notes now. You can also sign up to our newsletter. If you don't feel like you're getting quite enough of us, then we are checking in weekly as well in newsletter format. You can hear more from Cara and also get a little bit more detail on some of the advice that we've been giving on the pod. And listen to our other pod as well. If you found us through this one, there's a whole other world waiting for you. You can listen to me and Esther chatting shite for an hour every week as well. So do tune into that. But for now, let's crack on.
This series of the Women's Running Podcast is sponsored by Vivo Barefoot.
Vivo Barefoot is on a mission to create footwear that brings you closer to nature. Esther, you always talk about how perfect your feet are. Well, it turns out that Vivo Barefoot agrees with you. Your feet are the perfect bits of kit, and humans have evolved to walk, move, and run barefoot. So what could be more natural than a shoe that enables you to do just that?
I do have perfect feet. Thanks, Vivo Barefoot. Their shoes are beautiful and are designed wide to provide natural stability, thin to enable you to feel more underfoot, and flexible to help you build your natural strength from the ground up.
Studies show that foot strength increases by 60% in a matter of months just by walking around in them. And they feel wonderful to move around in too.
They really do. Vivo Barefoot has a great range of shoes for kids and adults, and for every activity, Plus, their footwear is produced using sustainably sourced natural, bio and recycled materials with the aim to protect the planet so you can run wild on it.
And if you've popped onto vivobarefoot.com and are having a browse of the gorgeous shoes, do check out Vivo Health while you're there. Vivo Health is an online platform for natural health. This has online courses, health assessment tools and workshops that will help you improve foot strength, technique for both road and trail running and more. Just pop along to vivobarefoot.com/UK/VivoHealth to find out more.
And we've saved the best bit till last. Vivo Barefoot are offering everyone a 100-day trial on their footwear. And you can pick up a pair today with an exclusive 15% discount for you, our lovely pod squad. Just use the code WOMENSRUNNING15 at the checkout.
Well, welcome back to another cold and crispy morning. Should we begin by talking about, I mean, I really feel like we've started every podcast recently. We're talking about the weather, but it is just so freezing. And I'm interested to know, Carr, how you've been managing to haul yourself out of bed to do this.
Honestly. So I guess the first thing is I have actually run this week. It has happened. Week one has happened. Week one, take two. So yes, it's been cold. It's been bloody cold. And I've done the first one I did last Sunday. I did in the afternoon, evening. Second one I did over lunchtime, and then the third one I did this morning before work. And this morning before work at -3 degrees was definitely the worst. I'm definitely a lunchtime or an afternoon runner. It was hard to get out of bed and open the door to that.
And so was this week one? You were repeating week one right from the word go. So it was the like 1 minute on, 1 minute off kind of thing. Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. Still forgetting how many runs I've done and probably doing more than I should, because whether I have early onset Alzheimer's, I'm not sure, but I seem to get to about six and I'm like, and number six, and number six, and I think I'm on, and we'll do number six again. I have to kind of try and remember from where I was and be like, okay, I think I was at that lamppost at number two. So I think number three was here. Anyway, went out this morning. Does lead me on to potential kit questions, because Hull very kindly gifted me some legging type leggings that were very, very thin. And
they were
took
legging
them out
type
their
leggings.
First run.
Esther knows exactly what you mean.
You do, in fact, know exactly these legging type leggings, because these legging type leggings have been around the houses.
Because Esther was
originally given these leggings. They didn't fit her, so she passed them to me, and they didn't fit me, so I passed them to Carl. Did they fit you?
They fit perfectly. They fit perfectly. They found their home.
It's like Goldilocks.
I know, we found them, but they're more tights than leggings, I would say. Yeah. So last week I was going from basically like fleece lined leggings to these tights. So I went out and I was in a long sleeve t-shirt. I didn't wear gloves or a hat or anything like that. I have seen runners do that. I didn't know if I should or shouldn't, which comes to my next question. But it was bloody freezing, and it was hard work, and warm-ups were not warming me up, and running did not warm me up, and I came in cold. I also potentially screwed up, because the first thing I did was get in the hot shower.
Chilblain Central. Are you joining me in the Chilblain?
Well, I don't know if it's chilblains. My entire body looked like it was a third degree burn.
Yes, I get that. That's so funny.
And I was so itchy. But more than that, I don't have kids, but I do have stretch marks. Mm-hmm. And because that's fair.
Yeah, it's not, is it? Don't worry.
It's not fair, but COVID and just getting older. But yeah, my stretch marks turned from nice silvery streams into like the purple. Red Sea was all over my stomach. Yes. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Awful. It is awful. It is.
So basically, I don't think I did the warming up and the cooling down very well.
We talked about that quite recently, didn't we?
It is just very, very cold, though, isn't it? I think,
and it is freezing.
Carl, I was going to congratulate you on the fact that I think that officially makes you a runner because you have had runner's itch, which
you
is.
You have had runner's itch.
Oh my gosh, I wondered what that was. It's still happening on my stomach.
Awful, isn't it? I had that for the first time. It was only a couple of weeks ago because we talked about it on the main pod. Where I came back in, exactly the symptoms that you described. And I was just standing in the shower going, oh my God, my skin is crawling. I've got scabies or something. And then coming out and just going, oh no, it's just because of the temperature change. So yeah.
I did not handle that very well. I was very confused. And I was like, I've obviously done something wrong here. Backtracking.
Yeah.
Should I be wearing a hat and gloves in -3 degree weather?
There's no should or shouldn't. It's what is going to make you feel good. Like there's things that I've read where it's like, you should wear clothes as if it's 10 degrees hotter or something like that. So basically they're sort of the recommendation from kind of those sorts of websites are that you're going to get hot during your run. You don't want to find yourself uncomfortable after a mile and, you know, should take a layer off sort of thing. I am a very, very cold person. So I don't. I wear what makes me feel warm at that point in time. So I went for a run this morning. I did wear a hat. I always wear gloves because I've got claws for hands. and I was wearing 1, 2, 3 layers, including a coat, which was padded, and thicker leggings and socks because I've got long legs, and that means that I have a gap between the end of my leggings and the beginning of my socks. So I make sure that my socks covers that because I find that quite vital to cover those 2 inches at the bottom of my legs. I am always covered up because I'm always going to get really cold. But okay. I saw someone out this morning wearing shorts. So
mental.
Yeah.
How are you doing it?
Different body temperatures are different, aren't they? I'm a bit more of a, well, I say I'm a bit of a hot-blooded person. You wouldn't think so according to Doug when he touches my feet in the night. But I feel like I get quite warm. I certainly get quite hot when I run. But I reckon, Carr, I would, in that case, still probably, especially in these kind of temperatures, and because you're going to be running, so you're going to be cooling yourself down and then getting warm again and then cooling down, I would wear a hat and gloves to go out into the world and wear while you're warming up and stuff. And if you get hot, you can take them off and shove them in a pocket or something. But mine always end up in a pocket. Even if it is -3, I can't wear gloves for the whole run. Like, I'll get too sweaty after a little while. And
they become irritating. I found, actually, that as much as we get stuff to test and things like that, but gloves I tend to buy because running gloves, I get them from Sport Shoes, actually. And my last pair I got like a month ago and they were $6.99. And they're just like super, super thin. They're almost like glove liners, I guess. But they are running specific gloves. And it means that they ball up really small. So I can then, when they get irritating, I can poke them up a sleeve and leave them there. So that's what I do with those. But yeah, I mean, if you're a cold person, layers. For sure.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm a cold person usually, but I think this morning was a little too cold. When I'm having to dodge ice, it's potentially too cold. Why am I doing this? Why am I going outside in the morning? That's the question.
Because it's amazing for you and for your mental health and for
your
physical.
It was gorgeous. Yeah, on the positive side, it's been so gorgeous this week. Like the sun and the frost and blue sky. It's been bloody cold, but my eyes have been frozen open in joy.
I think that's such a nice thing to say. I had to remind myself of that this morning, and because I went out the same as you, and I was just like going, I think it's something that I'd read, and it was all about sort of finding the awe in what you're looking at, kind of thing, rather than going, oh yeah, same old view, whatever. And looking across from here, I can see Salisbury Hill, and it was just so beautiful with all the frost everywhere and everything. Mm. Yeah, find the awe, find the awe,
find the awe,
find the awe.
So how was it then? How was it physically, like the run and that? Did it feel okay? Did it feel comfortable?
Yeah, so the first run on Sunday felt good. I had been kind of cooped up over the weekend. I'd gone home to see my mum and was dealing with some family stuff. And so it was really nice to get home and be like, I just need to get out and go for a run. That was really good. Second run, I just did around the park on grass because I was feeling it in my knees a little bit. What, not massively, but just a little bit. So I was like, I'm going to do flat on grass just for a little bit lower impact. Don't know if it's right or wrong, but I did.
Sounds quite sensible, to be honest.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And it was good. It was obviously far more boring running around a field than down a country lane. But yeah, I did start getting shin splints a little bit. Not for the full time I was running, but just like a twinge, like randomly, which I was also having this morning. So whether it's right or wrong, I'm trying to plod gracefully and with very low impact, just try and glide along where I'm running rather than going in an up and down motion too much, because I find both knees and shin splints do hurt. If my ponytail is swinging, then my knees be killing. My ponytail is swinging, my knees be killing. Yeah.
Nice.
So, whether it be right or wrong.
Actually, that's interesting. I was talking to a run coach a couple of days ago, and he was talking about running oscillation. And it's to do, no, was it running oscillation or was it velocity? Anyway, it was to do with going up and down. So we were testing a watch on Wednesday and it was something that it tracked, and it was the vertical oscillation. So it's how far up and down you moved on each kind of jump of your run. And he was saying you need that to be quite small because you want all the energy of your body to be powering you forwards, not upwards, which makes sense. So he was just talking about running form and how, so I think what you're doing is probably right. But when you said shin splints, do you know that you have shin splints?
No, I have no idea what shin splints are, except that it sounds like that kind of pain, if that makes any sense. So
have you had them before?
I feel like I've had them before with running, but not so bad that I've heard other people have them, I don't think. But the pain is behind my left shin specifically, so not necessarily on both legs at the moment, and just really sharp. So as if there's like a little knife behind my shin.
That does sound nasty.
Okay.
I've never had shin splints, so I can't verify.
Well, undiagnosed, what I assumed was that.
I think, with all running injuries, it's really, really easy to go down a rabbit hole of Google and to say, what are shin splints? And then what it comes back with is everything that you're feeling. However, if you were to put in your symptoms, you might come back with a couple of other things that it might be. But I'm pretty sure there are going to be some little easy physio strength moves to do to minimize that before you go out.
Okay.
But I think if it continues or gets worse or progressively gets worse as you run, that's when we need to start thinking about maybe going down the avenue of seeing someone about it. Because shin splints is this kind of big umbrella term, and it basically means pain in your shin. But if you get into the technicality of it, the splint part of it means that tiny, tiny fragments of bone are... Yeah, I know. So it's not, shin splints doesn't just mean, oh, I've got a bit of pain. It actually means that there's friction that's happened there. And if you're to carry on running on that, then you are cocking up your leg big time.
Oh, that made me feel incredibly sick.
Yeah. So
little bits of bone are chipping off and falling off.
You are damaging the front of your shin in some way, shape or form, and your shin is a shin bone, but shin splints generally, when you read about it, because it's such a kind of well-known phrase, it's now taken to mean pain in your shin,
right.
But that's why I was kind of asking you about whether it had been diagnosed or not, because if you have got actual shin splints, then it's time to think about some kind of recovery and recuperation and,
not again.
I was going to say
something
which was probably more wise.
I was going to say, if it's muscle pain, if it's that's different than bone pain, obviously. So if it's something that's happening because of the efforts that you've been doing over the last three runs, then that is a whole different ball game and much easier to kind of think about and to recover from and to prevent by doing some shin strengthening exercises, which
have really strong.
We will put
shins
in the show notes, and I will send it to you.
It's all easy. Shins.
The calf raises are good, but we'll do more. We'll do more on the front of your leg, which is slightly trickier to pull out, I think, because, well, I mean, how do you strengthen your shins?
Yeah, you. What I'm imagining is strengthen your shins. I'm imagining do you remember? And I know you do, Carl, because we were literally talking about this the other day. Esther, this is definitely way after your time and before the time of Ted and Felix, but Fairly Odd Parents, which was a classic TV show of our childhood. There was a character called the Crimson Chin, and he was a superhero who like bashed people. He had a huge chin and he would like beat people up with his chin. And I am imagining the Crimson Shin right now, which is just somebody with absolutely giant shins because they've been doing so much shin strengthening that they that's their like chosen weapon to fight crime shin. With is their shins.
The Crimson that's Chin. That's what I need to aim for.
She's gonna be the Crimson Shin.
I'm gonna go to womensrunning.co.uk and a cup shin strengthening.
Say it three times. You've got to do it. Shin strengthening.
Shin. Oh yeah, I knew it because I did have it a few years ago. You could carry on if you're still doing calf raises while you're brushing your teeth. Are you still doing those? Do those with bent legs slightly. So at a slight squat, you'll look really stupid. Mm. So you make sure that Dave doesn't see you while you're doing it. But if you do that, you're basically strengthening another part of your leg, which is the front of your leg, which is your shin. But also, maybe we should talk about stretching out after your run. Are you doing any of that?
I am not.
Ah.
I'm just getting out there, getting it done, getting in the shower and giving myself third degree burns.
Brilliant.
The circle of life.
Maybe this is something we could talk about in terms of that might really, really help prevent that feeling the next time you go for a run, doing a bit of a stretch. So I know that we talked before about stretches before you run, and we were talking about dynamic stretching. But when you finish a run, you can do static ones, which is much nicer because most of those you can do lying down. So it's quite a nice thing. I also do quite a few while I'm working, and no one notices that I'm doing them. One of them, for instance, if you're just sitting at your desk right now, if you put an ankle over a knee.
Okay, well, like let's all now.
Is everyone doing an ankle over a knee?
Yeah, I'm doing an ankle over a knee. Yeah. I'm slightly less dainty than you, so I've got to physically lift the ankle up.
I had to lift up my ankle, particularly on that side. So if your ankle is now positioned over, so say it's your right ankle is positioned over your left knee, you push down slightly against your right knee.
It already hurts my hip.
Well, it should be a nice stretch, not hurt.
No, sorry. Stretch. It's a stretch. It's not pain. Yeah.
So if you push down ever so slightly on your right knee, maybe even pull up slightly on your ankle, and you should feel a glute stretch.
Yeah,
so I love that.
That's a nice one to do. So you can do that while you're working. I love that one. I do that a lot because I've got really tight hips. Basically, just think about your whole leg and think about stretching the different areas of it. So you've got a calf stretch, which you'll know how to do, a quad stretch, where you stand up and you pick your foot up behind you, so your foot is touching your bum, and you stretch the front of your leg.
I never feel anything when I do that. So whenever I'm in gym classes and we get to that, I just kind of stand about and I'm like, oh, I don't know, what's this about?
I really find that
you're very flexible.
It is. You are quite flexible, aren't you? I was
flexible
gonna say,
going backwards, and I'm not flexible going forward. So my hamstrings are a pile of shit.
Yes.
I can go into like a back bend like nobody's business.
Oh, okay. Yes, because of the flexibility then. In which case you can strengthen the stretch. So if you're standing up and you're doing a quad stretch, which means that you're picking one leg up so your foot touches your bum behind you and your knees are
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Together, yeah. And you can't feel anything, yeah. Then lengthen and strengthen that stretch by pushing your knee further back, just very gently, very gently.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't notice anything with that stretch either until I checked if my knees were together. And this might be really patronizing, Carl, because maybe you have checked that and your knees are together. But for ages, I was doing it and I was like, nothing's happening. And then I was like, oh, if my knee is one knee is further forward than the other, then I can't really feel it. But if the knees are together, then I can really feel it. But maybe if you're already checked, you need to go further back. Yeah.
Yeah. And another good one to do for that is like, you know, like a yogic, what's the pose called when you're in a lunge on the floor with one knee down or one foot in front of you? And you
pigeon?
Might do
one knee down, one foot in front of
sort
you.
Of like a you know, your arms are up like in a warrior pose, but you've got one foot down, one knee down. I'm gonna have to show you
just a lungy thing,
like a lunge but with your knee on the floor rather than
is
2 feet.
Is it that sun thing where you kind of bend back at the same time? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That would definitely, I think, if you push into that in a very slow and controlled way, that will probably stretch out your quads better.
Okay. I do really like that, and I do feel something with that, and I get to go backwards, which I like. So there you go. Okay, nice. That's good tips, and that's solved a early PE question that I've always had when I stood there, like,
you just say, I'm
looking
too
good,
flexible.
Guys.
Too flexible.
I'm just
yeah, shout out
flexible.
To everyone who has shit hamstrings, because I swear, in yoga and everything, we're not well represented. It's everyone always gets grace for those who are doing back bends and things. And I'm like, oh, feeling pretty proud of myself here. Yeah. And then as soon as you go to touch your toes, I can't even sit on the floor just with my legs out straight.
Nor can I. Nor
it's
can
horrible.
I think that's classic for runners as well, actually. We've all got like hamstrings that are 1 inch big, and that I can't even, like, my yoga teacher is like, right, just sit upright in a kind of L shape. And I'm like, that's quite painful as it is. And then lean forward. And I'm like,
it's not happening. There's no leaning, babes. It's sitting up or standing up. That's what I've got.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it. But I get that's another area that we do really need to stretch after our run is our crap hamstrings. So see what you can do there, I guess. Just sort of, I don't know. I mean, do some yoga positions, do the hard one and then do the easy one afterwards so you can congratulate yourself about how bendy you are, but only in one direction.
Does it make your feet go numb when you try and stretch your hamstrings?
Does it make my feet go numb? I don't know.
Maybe I need
don't
to
think so.
About all of these ailments.
I'm really, like, we've said hamstrings so many times that I'm not going to lie, while you guys were talking about that, I was just thinking about different types of ham. I was like, oh, is there an analogy where, like, if you've got really good hamstrings, you're like a Christmas ham, and if you've got shit ones, you're like a Billy Bear, like the little face bear ham or whatever. Oh, and sorry, this is completely off topic, but I was talking with someone the other day. Remember that Billy Bear ham where it was like slices of ham with the bear's face and it looked wrong?
Yeah.
Bad, yeah.
Someone reminded me of this ham that you have had an egg in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No, I do not.
I think you can still get that.
Can you? Well, it was like a slice of ham with an egg in the middle, but if you, like a sort of Scotch egg, but ham form. But I feel like, Esther, you sliced it and it kept going back and there was still the same size egg. So where did this like long egg tube come from?
I do not remember that at all.
Oh, it was definitely.
Now, I don't know about that, but I know that you can definitely like intros, like posh yeah. Tros Deli, yeah?
Yeah.
They do have that as a sort of.
They're not going to have a long chew bag.
It's not a long chew bag. It's eggs popped in the middle. It's a pie. It's a pie with pastry around it, and you can cut it, and there's always egg in the middle, but like a hard
boiled. Sort of a pork. All of this makes me feel pie.
So sick because I
me
hate
too.
Eggs.
Me too. I'm
so
a vegetarian. This is disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
there
know. I mean,
nothing
we were talking
about Scotch
like
egg ID apart from the breadcrumbs.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say we were talking about cat cow last week, and now we're talking about like chicken pig.
Yeah,
chicken bad. Pig. Oh, chicken in a pig. Oh, yeah, I do actually. I have to confess, I quite like a Scotch egg. And we went on holiday last year somewhere. Do you remember, Car, where they had vegetarian Scotch eggs, and it was the most one of the most exciting.
Oh yeah, so you were loving that.
I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not for really me, good. But. And it's because of COVID when all you could get was a Scotch egg.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a Scotch egg?
Oh, yeah. You had to go to pubs to get a Scotch egg so you could get a pint. Yeah.
Yeah, you had to have a Scotch
too much
egg
trauma.
If you could have a pint. Oh, God. Yeah. What a time. What a time. Eat out. Yeah, no,
it's got to be alive.
Oh no,
most
don't. Rishi's worst mistake.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Anyway,
state of the world, eh?
State of the world. This country.
Yeah. Going to the dogs.
But to return to, I mean, we don't have to. We can talk about whatever we like. That was actually some feedback from my mum. Shout out if she's listening. She was like, you talked so much about running last time. I did start to drift off.
Oh, it's quite dull, isn't it? Running. No, just joking.
But shall we have a little chat about what's coming up, Car, for
yes.
you? And we'll also talk about what's yes. coming up for people who are about to embark on week 4 of the training camp.
Yeah.
So for you, Cara Northcott, let me just get it up.
That's me.
She's talking about getting the plan
up. I think this is when I start going to different timings, don't I? Which I already have a question, but I'll let you tell me the plan first.
Mm-hmm. You do start going into different timings. This is not easy for you and your brain. Here because you've got 3 different runs. 2 of them are the same, 1 of them is slightly different, and they do follow the same pattern. So the first one, you're doing 6 rounds, so that's good for you. You love 6. When you get to 6,
I'm just done.
That's true.
Yeah, you're done. So
don't
and
have
they
to keep
are
doing 6 again.
They're 90 seconds running, 1 minute walking. Then you do 7, your next run is 7 rounds of exactly the same thing, 90 seconds running, 1 minute walking. And then your last run's the same again. It's 7 of the 90 second run, 1 minute walks.
I feel I've asked this before, but can I ask again, because I've forgotten, does in those runs, does it specify any warm up and cool down time? Does it sort of say 5 minutes warm up, 5 minutes cool down?
No.
Okay.
Even though this is a premium plan from womensrunning.co.uk that I highly recommend, it doesn't include any of that information. Okay.
I would definitely add for all of those, I would add in 5 minutes of brisk walking before and afterwards.
And
maybe
some silly walks as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which Dave was thrilled by the other day because he's been taking the dog out walking at the same time as I've been running. So I've been kind of running and then walking back to him and then running and then walking back to him, which has been quite wholesome, actually.
That's how I walk normally.
But he wasn't best pleased when we left the house the other day. And I was like, sorry, Dave, I've got to do my dynamic stretching. So he was having a good old time whilst the villagers were looking towards me like a lunatic. So yes, long may that continue.
Marvelous. I love the use of the Marvelous. Villagers as well. That's my, I'm so imagining.
I
yeah,
I expect
you
them
live
with pitchforks.
Yeah, yeah.
they look so proud
man.
Of me.
Yeah.
They
look
so
eyes.
Proud of me. This morning, I saw so many people kind of smile. Like, obviously, you get the good mornings in a village, which is lovely. But people looked really proud of me, like out running. They were like, aww. Go on, girl. I was like, yes. I'll do my another minute and then I'll stop again. But yeah, it was very wholesome.
That is what it's all about, isn't it? That warms my soul.
Yes.
I love
that. But dynamic stretching, beginning, and then We've got my car phrases whilst I'm brushing my teeth, mm-hmm. and my strength, not strengthening stretches.
Shin strengthening.
Just static stretches of when you get home. Don't do the static ones outside in the cold. So do them when you get home, when you've warmed up a little bit. Okay.
And maybe before the shower so that my body regulates.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Can you see that I'm sat here in my running gear? So I went for a run about an hour ago. Well, no, more than that now, about an hour and a half ago. And I do sit and wait for my temperature to regulate before I get in the shower.
Mm.
So that's why I'm doing it looking as rough as I do.
Also, it's nice to just...
Great shout.
You've got to sit there and be gormless for a little bit. It's just quite nice. Just have a little sort just of watch nice. Someone make like pasta in the shape of the crimson chin or something on Instagram for a bit.
But you get to sit in your like celebratory sweat and just like feel good about yourself and be like, you know what, I bloody did go out and sweat.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and Ahol, what about everyone else who's on week four? What's in store for them?
What's in store for you in week four? Let me have a look. So, oh God, four. It's just a lot of numbers and I am numerically inept. Four times 3 minutes mm-hmm. running and 2 minutes walking. Four Ooh. Times. 3 minutes running.
3 minutes running and
3 minutes running. It's heating up.
You're
in
a
here.
Runner.
Yeah.
You're for sure a runner.
And is that 3 times a week or is that are they different?
No, they're slightly different. So you do four times your numbers swap around a bit. So you're doing four of those where it's three men run, two men walk, four times. And then for your second run, you're doing three sets of mm-hmm. four men run, two men walk. That's your run. Next one, mm-hmm. exactly the same. Four men run, two men walk.
This is kind of sounding like another language. Though.
I know.
It does. Weird. Yeah.
That was weird.
But that's
felt
okay.
Weird.
That's okay. I think that's okay. And it's lovely to be able to look at your watch and see those numbers sort of tick down, isn't it? I think.
Well, this has to do with my question that I almost forgot. It's just about, I guess, coming back to kit and Fitbit and timing these things. I've loved my 1 minute on, 1 minute off because I've been able to just be like, oh yeah, done that, press again, done mm-hmm. that, press again. Now it's different times. I'm going to have to kind of stop, reshift to a different setting of time, press play, run, etc.
Oh, I see.
Does that make sense? So it does potentially add another...
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, or you could decomplicate it completely. I think simplify is the word I was possibly looking for there.
Don't ask me to count.
No.
Okay.
Literally just look at the second hand on your watch.
Okay.
So if you've got a Fitbit, so that'll have a digital clock face on it, yeah? So I mean, if you were doing like, if your runs are like, what is it, 1.5 minutes and then a minute off or something like that? It's slightly more complicated, wasn't it, than last week? I would literally, I think it makes it go quicker. So just look at the second hand. So look at the second timing and start at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:01.3, you know, literally just follow that rather than feel like you have to set. I mean, you can set something up on Fitbit, I'm sure you can. And if you Google it, I'm sure there's loads of ways in which you can kind of set up a session, but it might be a bit of a tricky one and kind of not worth bothering with when you're moving through couch to 5K because office chair to 5K because you're changing it constantly. Yeah. And actually I find it goes really, really, because I do this myself quite a lot in a mile way. So I might sort of think to myself, I'm going to run for a mile and a half and then I'm going to have my gel or my water or whatever. And I'll see that a mile and a half has gone past. And then my next landmark the next bit that I'm going to stop at or whatever, it's going to be a mile after that. So that's 2.5 miles. And then I might do a mile and a half for the next. It's just kind of a way of using very simple math to make the time.
There is a
quicker.
Lot of math in running.
I know,
I'm
it's
not
great.
Sure
it really is.
It's all very simple math though.
Oh, yeah.
I promise it is. I promise it is because you'll be sitting there and you'll be thinking to yourself, I mean, it might help to write. I sometimes write stuff. If I know that my head is going to be like exploding with too much, I write some stuff on my hand to remember when the sessions are, when I have to change and do different things. Just like if you're a marathon runner. But I think it really helps to sort of think minute and a half, and then another minute after that, suddenly it's 2.5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, the week before, after you'd done one kind of split, you'd be at 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then it's suddenly the next split is 4 minutes. You know, you'll be kind of rattling through it so quickly. Yeah. It'll be great. It will fly by. I promise it will.
I'm trying to remember. I think I did a full half marathon once. A full half marathon.
A full half marathon.
doing the same thing where I couldn't work out on my watch how to set. I was walk running it, and so I was doing like 10 mins running, 1 min walking or something all the way through. And if lovely Kate, who was running with me actually, is listening, then maybe she can remind me what the actual split was. I can't remember. But we just used a watch and just like, yeah, used the minutes having ticked by to work out when our walks were. And I loved it because if you were watching it, then you were going, right, okay, I've got 5 seconds to go and then I can walk. But if you weren't watching it, then you'd like look back and be like, oh, I've actually done a bit more than I was supposed to. Now I'll have an extra lovely bit of walk to do or whatever. Yeah. And that was quite nice. I quite liked that.
Yeah, I think that might be what I end up happening, because dodging ice and random things on country roads, I probably can't like keep my hand above, but if I'm just like checking back and forth,
then exactly that. And also, I mean, I think just don't be too, I know all these things, it seems quite rigid because it's a bit like run for this, walk for that, da da da, but if it goes to shit slightly because of an ice patch or, you know, a long stretch where you know that you're going to have to walk it because you could be at risk of falling over, then that's fine. You just build it in. Sure. It's just extra. It's time on feet is the most important thing. So, you know, the way in which you do that is all to the good. Because it's the fact that you're going out, and you're going out 3 times a week, and that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know, to be honest, you could probably shoot yourself up to like week 5, no trouble at all right now. You could.
The third run did feel good. I was not, I mean, and the fact that I was still bloody freezing showed that like maybe my cardiovascular was improving after just 3 runs, because
the first
time I was like, oh, still my chest is burning here, and then this time I was like, oh, could do another couple, go on. Okay. So wow, yeah, that. Looking forward to week 2.
Oh, brilliant.
Week 4 for
what a way to end the episode. Looking forward to the next week. That is music to my ears.
Amazing.
Yes. Hopefully it'll be a bit warmer too.
Yes, I think it is a bit warmer next week.
It is meant to warm up a little bit. However, as is the case with Britain, I feel as though maybe we are swapping
rain.
Swapping the warmth for a bit of rain.
Well, on that note, lovely place to end the episode, but also tip for next week in terms of rain and kit. What am I doing with rain?
I've got a waterproof if you want, Kar. I mean, sometimes, personally, I sometimes feel like running in the rain, I quite like it because you're already, you know, you're going to get in the shower at the end. If it's hot, then it's nice because it's nice and cooling. Yeah. But if it's cold and nasty, then yeah, it's probably a good idea to have something a bit more protective. I've definitely got some running coats that you're welcome to have. Just something that is lightweight and breathable, but that also can keep the wind out and the rain off you a little bit. But quite often I find that coats can be quite annoying. So it's just kind of finding the right one and having some test runs in it. So we can have a look and discuss next week.
And the same thing with trainers. Do you just accept that the squelch is going to happen?
Yeah. There's no, I've got to a point now where, especially if I'm going for a longer run, I don't even avoid puddles. I just run through them because if I'm that drenched already,
doesn't matter. Okay, so it's just a mindset. It's not to necessarily overcome with kit.
It is absolutely a mindset. The only thing I would add to that is that if you have two pairs of trainers, it can come in handy if one of them is sodden, because it's not nice to get into wet trainers. So it's definitely a time of year where we need to take care of our shoes to make sure that they last longer. Mm. So, you know, dry them properly, bit of newspaper. If anyone gets any newspaper anymore, it's very tricky to get hold. I only get it when my mum comes to stay.
Oh, I get one, but sometimes I do the crossword. So I got a couple of Timeses so, lying about.
Very useful to poke into the toes of your trainers when you put them on the radiator to dry them out. Mm. And you're probably not supposed to put trainers on the radiator either. But, but yeah, dry them out between runs.
You're not supposed to do anything these days, are you?
No, you're not, are you? Oh. Oh, Holly. Such a snowflake.
Right. It's too cold to be a snowflake here.
It is,
for sure. Well, let's check back in when things are, perhaps a little wetter, but a bit warmer. And we can definitely talk about all the other struggles that come with that kind of weather.
Next week.
Yeah. But we'll make sure we've got you. We'll make sure that you got the right stuff. And for anybody else listening, worrying about that as well, you can spend a blooming arm and a leg on some running jackets, but you can also get some for really good value. Sports shoes do some good ones.
Decathlon do really good ones.
Yeah, Decathlon do great ones. So there's definitely options if you don't like running in the rain. But I quite like it, like a weirdo. Not the going out.
Sorry, you'll find my judgment next week.
Okay, we'll see what you think.
Fingers crossed I like it, because I don't live in the right country to not like it.
Yeah, going out in the rain is quite nasty, I find. But once you're running, it's quite nice. Mm-hmm. And if it starts raining halfway through a run, I quite like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jury's out.
No, it's good. And if people are watching you, if you see that people are watching you, they all think you're an absolute fucking hero. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
The village are going to go wild. Yeah, they're
going to be mental. Yeah.
Those pitchforks are going to be raised.
Yeah, the villagers are going to lose it.
Yeah. I can't wait. I'll report back.
Okay.
I'll report back.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
See you next week.
Just lovely to hear Cara's enthusiasm there. That really warms my heart. And I'm so pleased that she's getting stuck in. After a rocky start, it really seems like she is fully on track for an absolutely smashing run at 5K. As before, please do check out the show notes. There is plenty of info there on how you can stay in touch with us. We will see you next week for another of these. But yes, if you will miss us deeply in the meantime, do sign up for the newsletter. We'll be checking in every Wednesday with that. And you can listen to Esther and I blithering on Thursdays. And for that long period in the week, a bit like the Traitors, where you got 5 days or whatever it is without any content, there's no choice really but to subscribe to the magazine so you can pick it up and have a look at any time you like. Find out how to do that for the best possible value at the Mo in the show notes as well. For those of you embarking on week 4, just as a little reminder, though I won't bang on about it because I did say it in the episode 2, you're looking at 4 sets of 3 minutes running, 2 minute walking for your first run. And then your next 2 runs of the week are 3 lots of 4 minutes running and 2 minutes walking. Good luck with it all. And I'm looking forward to checking back in next week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.